Everybody's
no, like, I said the Golden Girls. That's the part that doesn't make sense.
Everybody loves the Golden Girls. It's the best.
Are you done?
Berating your example? Sure.
Yeah. Okay. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay. Because like right now, I feel like I don't want to be doing this podcast.
Well, you know what? You should be doing it.
Welcome to Signal, the podcast that raises your frequency. I'm Maury Fontanez.
And I'm Melissa Grushka.
And today we're going to talk about how to stop doing what you should do and lean more into what you want.
I want to do that. Bean?
Hi. Hello.
I just realized it looks like I'm wearing pajamas, so I'm...
No, you look like Bruce Springsteen with your t-shirt rolled up. It's very sexy. It's giving...
I'm rolling it up for a little funky flair. And now that you said that, I know that I have successfully done so.
And then when you say things like funky flair, it just takes all the coolness right out of the room.
I disagree.
So we're balanced back. Net zero.
Thanks. How's it hanging? How's your weeky?
Good, I think.
Excuse me. I was so shocked. I choked.
I mean, it's busy. It's busy, 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 busy.
You are busy. This is so a very busy time for you with your book coming. It's very busy. I, totally. As your scheduler, know this.
You as my true life partner.
true love of your life. I know this. I have the best delight. Oh, did you want to talk about your week?
No, I want you to tell me your delight.
It's really exciting.
Oh.
It's really exciting.
Okay,
go. I am reading this book right now and it's amazing. And I'm not even going to say it because I want it to be a secret. And I'm like, as we've mentioned, this podcast is not sponsored by anyone. We do everything on our own. I am also in charge of talent recruitment. So I reached out to this author and said, I'm reading your book. I'm obsessed. I think you'd be great on our podcast. Would you come on? And she writes back that she knows about our fucking podcast already.
How?
It was convoluted way, but like she already was aware. This is some random stranger I reached out to. And she was like, I know. I mean, she was more familiar with you and your work, but as a result, knew our podcast. And I was like, am I a celebrity? Like, am I Oprah right now?
I was like,
you know who I am? Like, you've heard my podcast? And not only that, she said she'd love to be on. I was like, what?
That is seriously so validating.
It really was.
Good feeling.
Yeah, it really
I'm
was.
I'm into it. I can't wait to talk to her.
Me too.
I need to read the book.
It's really fascinating and very in line with your work. Very, very in line. It'll be
You're not going to tell us the name of the book?
Well, what if it falls through?
Okay,
or something?
Fine. We'll
but she
it.
Seems lovely, so I don't think it will.
Okay. Well, my delight very briefly is that I am headed back east to New York City.
Wait, but that's not just the only delight. Explain the true
and
delight.
And I'm going to see my bean in New York City.
Wasn't that the ultimate core of your delight? Or was it
I was
going to
get there. I was going to get there.
Oh, yeah. Sound like it.
Yeah. We're going to have such a good time. I have a little book event, my first book event, live book event in New York City. And Bean's going to be there.
Yeah,
and we're going to have a little reunion with someone else who we used to work with. This is where we met. He's going to be there.
Gosh.
Anyway, I'm just super excited. There's a lot of fun stuff happening that week. And Bean and I are staying there and we're going to have so much fun.
We always do.
I can't wait. And it's going to be negative 200 degrees for me.
Honestly, today it's like in the 40s here, which is, it's been like in the single digits.
Gorgeous.
So in the 40s feels like I'm in Hawaii.
Yeah, I get it.
So I'm wearing a t-shirt.
Well, Bean, let me ask you something. Is going to New York something that you want to do or feel like you should do?
I feel like I should do it because you're my boss and you told me to go. No, it's all the wants in the world. One, I love Bean. Two, New York City is my heartbeat and my soul.
Totally.
So having my other heartbeat and soul being Bean in the area that is my heartbeat and soul is like...
It's like a nesting doll of heartbeat soul.
Yeah, a Trishka doll. Yeah, agreed.
I get excited when my wants and shoulds coincide. Like, oh my God, what just happened? My screen had balloons go up.
You did a peace sign and some balloons went up.
Well, that's what happens on the new iOS, not new.
Wait, why do you get balloons for a peace sign?
Guess what you get when you do this? We're doing two thumbs down and it's a rainstorm.
Oh, that's adorable.
And then when you do two thumbs up, It is, I think it's fireworks.
I'm
blowing your mind with Apple.
I need an iPhone. Apple. My boss should really buy me an Apple.
You need a Mac. What kind of asshole do you work for?
I don't know. She is cheap.
Anyway, I was saying, I get excited when my wants and my shoulds are in the same like category. Like I get to do something that I have to do, but that I also want to do, which I guess is what you should really be aspiring to in life, is to build the kind of life where the things you have to do are the things you want to do. Got it. Episode over.
That's what you're doing anyway.
That is what I'm trying to do.
I'm on the path of attempting to discover that.
Yeah. And we're doing this episode because we want all of you to lean more towards your desires. My theory, my belief is that we have not been taught to honor our desires. We've been taught, especially women, those who identify as female, to have shame about desire, to believe that the things that we want are either silly or selfish or, you know, too much. You want too much. I'm sure a lot of you have heard that. I used to hear that a ton. And so I think we want to like reorient all of us towards, no, when I want it, I'm going to honor it. And I'm going to try to pay attention to the things I want and take more action and movement towards the things I want and less action around the things I think I should do. And it is reversed right now. Most of us are doing what we think 100%. We should do and less of what we want.
We're all living, I think a lot of people are living a life of obligation. Like 100%. Almost every single thing all day long is like, well, I need to be doing that. I should be doing that.
What's something that you do because you think you should do it, that you think you could do less of?
I really think I should, even though I clean all the time, I really think I should be cleaning. I should have my house in better shape at all times.
No, I asked you what you do that you should be doing, that you should do, that you want to do less of. Like, how do you do less of the thing that you...
I want to be doing less house cleaning. Yes, I want to be doing less laundry because I feel like I have to be doing all the laundry.
Okay. Mine is, again, I think I've said this before, but like, I think sometimes I give my time to people because I think I should, rather than checking in on whether I want. Do I want to get on the phone and have this conversation with this person? Do I really want to go spend time with this person? Or am I doing it because I think I should? For me, it's like a time, giving time.
Yeah. I mean, I think that too. And I definitely think at this point in life where you have such minimal amounts of free time, you have to choose wisely.
Yeah, what you want. Yeah. So what you want is your authentic desire. It's like aligned with your joy and your purpose. And by the way, guess who tells you what you really want? Your higher self.
Maury. Oh, right.
Your higher self, Maury. But your like connection to your intuition is how you really get clear on what you want. You know what you want in a deep intuitive way where like you don't have to think about it very much. It's just there.
Yeah, but that's not so easy. Like mine is not easy. Very cloudy right now. Very, very cloudy. I can tell you what feels nice. And I am doing an exercise with someone else I'm working with to try to understand what I want.
Yeah.
Like right now, I really don't know. I feel like I'm just going through each day, like figuring it out.
Here's my advice.
Thanks.
You have to start small. When you start to honor the little things you want more and more, you build a practice and a habit of paying attention to what you want. And those bigger things become easier to notice and to make yourself okay with. But it's okay to start with like the little wants and honoring those wants and not shaming the smaller wants, but get in the practice of going after them.
And not even honoring. I'll actually share the exercise because I actually think it might be useful. The person I'm working with, she was actually Kendall. We spoke with her a few weeks back. She advised that I write down everything I do all day at home and with you, like each task that I do, and just pay attention to which ones feel really good and which ones feel really organic and which ones are more just like a to-do, check it off the list.
Love.
Not even honor it, just like not do anything with it. Just pay attention to it.
Yes, awareness. That's
a great tip. Awareness.
We're all going to steal that exercise.
Yeah, I love it, right? It's such a good idea.
Yeah, I love it. And I think when I say little wants, I mean sometimes I go to pick up like my son from school and I'm like, you know what? I really want an oat milk latte from Starbucks right now. And the should part of me is like, don't pull over. Don't. Oh, look at her right now.
Today, we're trying. Oat milk latte? Yes, we're trying to save. We're trying to not go to Starbucks as much. We're trying to save a bunch of money. And today I woke up and I was like, I really fucking want a coffee.
Right.
I was like, don't do it. Don't do it. And then I was like, you know what? You don't do it a lot. Go do it.
There you go. That's what I mean. Honor the little want and it trains you to honor the bigger want. Whereas shoulds on the flip side are really coming from societal expectations and social conditioning. And so they tend to be fear-based decisions. And all I mean by that, it sounds intense, is like it's this sentence, if I don't, then X will happen. And that X is a negative impetus, right? Like if I don't do this, then this person will hate me. If I don't do this, then we're going to be in the poorhouse. If I don't do this, then, you know, some negative moment in your mind that comes from not doing it.
Here's a quick question for you. Sometimes the reason I do things out of obligation is because I know that the guilt I will have for not doing it in myself will be more powerful, that I almost want to avoid the guilt, that it's almost easier just to do the little thing I should do so that I don't have to think about it for 4 days.
Yeah. And what you're doing is training yourself and your mind with a negative stimulus. So you're saying, so that I feel less guilty, I'm just going to do the thing I should, which is actually just making the shoulds more powerful. Rather than I'm going to feel guilty and I'm going to endure that uncomfortable feeling of guilt and move through it. Because then on the other end, I'll learn that this feeling of guilt is not so terrifying. You know, I saw this really gorgeous quote. It was a picture of a bison. It was a National Geographic post. And it was a picture of a bison covered in snow. Like literally, it looked like a white bison. And it said that bison know to walk through the snowstorm because they'll get through it faster than if they try to go in the opposite direction or avoid it. And then the photographer said, maybe a lesson for life, but also a gorgeous photo.
So wise.
But it's so true. Like the thing that you are trying to avoid experiencing, if you can train yourself to just endure experiencing the discomfort of the guilt, then the shoulds won't have so much power, because the guilt is like enforcing the shoulds. It's like the soldier that's enforcing you to do the should thing. But if you can fight the guilt, then you don't engage with the shoulds like that.
I even feel uncomfortable with you saying it.
You are very uncomfortable.
Inside my body feels uncomfortable.
Well, let's talk about why you're uncomfortable. There's four reasons that we, there's multiple, but there's
one
four
of them. I'm a Jew.
You're a Jew. Conditioning and upbringing is the first one.
I knew it.
Our relationship with what we think we should do, our relationship with obligation comes from messages we get from our childhood about what it means to be responsible, what it means to be a good person, what it means to be successful. So in that desire for approval, we are really taking in like a sponge the lesson that fulfilling obligations above all else, I want to make sure that we understand that part, because I'm not saying we all get to run around not fulfilling any obligation, but fulfilling your responsibilities and obligations above your own desires is what makes you a good person. And that's also cultural too. Iranians are very, very much like that. Iranians are communal beings. So to consider yourself is seen as incredibly selfish.
But that's like a fine line there. I mean, because in some ways it can be selfish if you're only consumed with your own wants.
Totally. That's why that's the other end of the spectrum. And I think we are working on balance. For me on this show, it's not about like go do the exact opposite all the time. But like some of this conditioning, we have to try to learn to balance it out a little bit more instead of going to the opposite end. Yeah. What?
Sometimes I literally forget we're on a show because I'm just talking to you when you said on this show. And I was like, what show? Oh, right. We're doing something. Right. But the whole time I'm like, fascinating.
So the headphones on your ears are not giving it away. That
no, because I actually wear headphones, wireless headphones like this a lot in my house. Yeah. No, in my house. Feels normal. Okay. Societal expectations, which again, fine line, but yeah.
Okay. Then the other reason that our relationship with obligation is so strong is fear of judgment and failure. We fear not having belonging in our communities, in our tribes, getting literally like pushed out of the tribe, which in our early days as humans meant death, because there was no one to actually then help hunt and gather and care. And that is a old fear of not having belonging. And belonging is very much tied to how other people judge you. So a lot of our obligations and our relationship with should is around the fear that you're going to be judged. So let that be a flashlight in your own consciousness right now. Like, where are things that you do out of obligation because you fear judgment? Those are, I'm sorry to say, hard, but the lowest hanging fruit in pivoting away from just a should life. It's, if you are fearing judgment, identify those and let's work on fearing that judgment a little bit less and understanding that you're building the kind of life when you're embodying this higher frequency where you are surrounding yourself with people who don't judge you for caring for yourself.
Correct.
Who don't judge you for choosing yourself.
Correct.
So if you're fearing judgment, then that's a clue that you might be surrounding yourself with people who don't want you to be your higher self. And now I'm just going to say you're accountable to that decision.
I agree. I think it gets a little muckier with family.
Totally.
You know, with friends, it's easier to say like, you're right. This person maybe isn't the best person for me to have in my life, but it gets way more confusing when it's like a parent or a sibling or something like that.
And that's where boundaries start to come in because it's not then about like taking them out of your life, but it is about not putting them in front of your own needs as much. And if you've been doing that, that's going to be a transition for sure. And they're going to feel it and they may have something to say about it, but it's okay because they will learn to operate within your boundaries because they love
you. And you went through that. We had a whole episode on you being a family fixer and how you had to break that at like recently.
Yeah. So, and that actually goes to this third reason that we do the obligation is people pleasing. That so many of us, especially those that identify as female, have been taught that our value is in pleasing others. So this is how we just societally move in relational expectations, that we are the ones to make sure that you're comfortable, you're safe, you feel loved, you feel taken care of.
Right. So much caretaking.
So much caretaking. And those of us that are parents, obviously this is at another level. Those of us right now who are taking care of our parents or whoever it is, there's a lot of obligation in that you exist to make this person comfortable. Again, just something to examine. Is that true? Is your value fully in other people being happy with you? The Cliff's Notes is no, but really got to do self-exploration. And then the last one I just want to point out is we can be drawn to obligation because we don't trust ourselves. So a lack of self-trust, doubting our ability to choose what's best for ourselves. Hey, what do you think I should do? Hey, do you think this is a good idea? Hey, I really want this. Do you think it's okay? Like asking even for permission to want the things we want.
I mean, I don't think we would be friends if I didn't ask you those questions.
That's not true. We might talk to each other less, but we would be friends for sure.
Like, hey, do I do this or this?
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. What do you think?
I think these are all very correct, but again, much more easier said than done. And I like how you mentioned some low-hanging fruit, but I think that so many, as you mentioned, people, females and people living as female are, we don't know any other world.
Yeah.
Like it's not that easy to just break from something that you do in almost every area of your life.
It's true. But it starts with excavating and having awareness. That's why I said a flashlight into your consciousness. Like, why do I do these things? And where did this come from? And what does it reveal about what I believe about myself? And do I want to keep living like that? Do I keep wanting to believe those things about myself? Do I keep wanting to not trust myself and externalize my wisdom like this?
Yeah, and hanging on to others' validation to make your own self happy, which ultimately never makes you happy.
Yeah. So that's the conditioning part. Why do you think we do things we don't want to do?
I mean, I don't know. Obligation. Again, I think it's often feels scarier to sit with the discomfort of upsetting somebody we care about than to just go ahead and do it and get it over with.
Right. I really think there's three things that convince us that we should do the obligations. And the first is this illusion of control and stability. Like if I do the thing that I should do, it will lead to more stability in my life.
Yeah. Sometimes it does.
Sometimes
like
it
temporarily,
does.
Temporarily, right.
Temporarily. I was just going to say sometimes it does, but not in the long term.
Right.
Because you've completely lost connection with yourself, your true wants. And then like whose life are you really living there? And is that stable? If it's not, you living your authentic life.
And then these others' expectations continue to be on you because they've seen you fulfill that obligation before and then they expect it again. And then it's harder to break from once you go down that dark path.
Yeah. Another reason we do it is because it's familiar, like you said. So there's a comfort to familiarity. That's why you make these faces when I try to present a different perspective on how to change it, because it's scary. Because it's like I'm asking you to do, like I said, super uncomfortable stuff. And so when we know what's certain and we know the outcome of that thing is certain,
it's true,
we're going to want to keep doing it. Versus when I'm saying, choose yourself, don't choose the obligation. That's an uncertain path.
Totally. Like you don't know how mad the other person's going to get, or you don't know what the fallout will be from not, you know, letting this kid come over your house. You just don't always know. And you're right. I have a massive fear of the unknown.
That's right. So it's good to just say and notice for yourself, I'm choosing the shoulds because I'm afraid of what might happen if I don't. Just admit that to yourself, because when you do, then all of a sudden the chemicals, the alchemy, the calculus in your whole body and mind starts to be like, wait a minute, that's why I'm doing it. Okay. And then the last reason that I think we do it is this trap of productivity. Like I have to be productive. I want to be productive. So I'm going to do all these shoulds today rather than stopping to check if I want.
Am I living a whole life of shoulds? Do you keep laughing? Because everything you say is resonating so hard with me. I'm like, is my entire life a should? I think I do a lot of things I want, right? I do.
You do a lot of things you want.
I do. But I balance it.
It's good to have these moments of like, oh, is that why I do it? I told you, like awareness is everything. So sometimes we associate our worth with busyness. And therefore, we do a lot of shoulds because we think we're more valuable if we're productive, which is an illusion. You're valuable just for existing. Yes, you're a human being, not a human doing.
Doing. Totally.
All right. I like that this is resonating. So now I'm just going to ask you, how do you think you get clear on what you want so that you can move a little bit away from the obligation life?
I don't know. I feel like people should tune into our episode from 2 weeks ago about ego versus higher self and really putting those two people that are in you in perspective, because then you can understand more why you're operating from where and why you're choosing what. But other than that, I don't fucking know.
Do you want me to give you some guidance? Yeah. Okay.
This whole episode has been you giving me guidance and me being like, oh my God.
Okay. So if you are with us so far and you feel like, okay, I see that I'm doing more shoulds and I'm not clear with my wants, then you do, this is a signal to you that it's important to get clear on what you want, right? Are you making that face because I use the name of our podcast?
Yep. Signal.
Smooth. So here are three ways you can get clearer on what you want. First of all, listen to your body when you're doing something.
Oh, yeah.
Doing shoulds are a contracting experience. It's going to feel like pressure, heaviness, contraction, tightness. Okay? Doing what you want is an expansive feeling in your body. It feels like lightness, like expansion, like more room in you or on your shoulders. So just pay attention to when you're thinking about something, how does it feel in your body? And when you get that expansive feeling, just make a commitment to yourself that you're going to follow that feeling every once in a while and create that expansion for yourself.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Sometimes I want something and then I make it happen. And then by the time it actually comes to be, I don't want to do it anymore. And then I feel like I should because I'm the one who wanted it in the first place.
Wait, say that again.
Sometimes I want something. Like I'll be like, I'm going to plan this dinner. And then the dinner day arrives and it's cold outside and my kids have been whining and I just want to sit on my couch with sweatpants on eating takeout. But like, I have to go because I'm the one who decided to do this.
Yeah.
They
shift. Your wants absolutely shift. So again, it's like a cyclical process. It's a still then checking in like, okay, now I'm going to do the thing I thought I wanted and just kidding. I don't want it anymore. And it feels contracting. So now I know I'm doing it out of obligation.
Wait, just so like in that, blocking it. Okay. But in that scenario, would you advise like, don't go to the dinner, just get your sweatpants on and hop on the couch. Even though
I would advise that. I think it's in
you're crazy girl
consideration of not always being a flake and like leaving people hanging. If it's a situation where, you know, others are going to hang out and have a great time and you know, they'll be okay. I am really advocating for us being more open and vocal about, hey, you know what guys, I just can't.
A bad week.
I'm having a bad week. I can't make it.
Yeah, let's reschedule.
Yeah, totally.
That's fair.
That's fair.
Okay, so in your body, the second is then distinguishing like everything we talk about between fear and desire.
Yeah.
Fear and intuition. What voice is speaking? You know, is it the one that's trying to keep you safe and is coming from a place of being scared and small? Or is it your intuitive voice, the one that's like, this is what you want, and it's coming through clear as a bell, very grounded, again, very expansive. So just know the difference between who's telling you to do what, your fear or your intuition.
Okay. Check.
And then lastly, you can do a little journaling. I have some prompts for you to do some self-inquiry. Cute. The first one, if no one else's opinion mattered, what would I choose?
Ooh, interesting. I bet a lot of people don't know the answer to that.
So sit down and just write it out for yourself.
Okay.
The second, what lights me up even if it doesn't make sense?
Interesting.
So I get very lit up after a very busy day of lying on the couch and turning on the Golden Girls. And I will do it, even though it doesn't make sense to anyone, because it's truly making me feel lighter in my being.
Wait, who does that not make sense to? Because it makes complete and utter sense to me.
That's
and to, honestly, most people.
Most people. Well, okay, so maybe that was a bad example.
Yeah, that was a bad example. Of course you want to lay on the couch after a really
give me a better
day.
One.
I don't know. What doesn't make sense? I have no idea.
Okay, well,
what
if
does
you're gonna
I don't
criticize
one.
Mine, you better next time come correct with a better example.
You were like, it's so crazy, but after a really busy day, I just want to lay on the couch and watch TV. Everybody's
no,
like,
I said the Golden Girls. That's the part that doesn't make sense.
Everybody loves the Golden Girls. It's the best.
Are you done?
Berating your example? Sure.
Yeah. Okay. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay. And then, because like right now, I feel like I don't want to be doing this podcast.
Oh, well, you know what? You
my
should be doing it.
Contracted immediately. Last prompt to just get to know your desires better is, where do I feel most alive? What scenarios, what environments, what am I doing? When do I feel most alive? When you feel the most alive, you are the most in touch with your soul, because your soul is here to experience life.
I can't tell you any of the answers because I'm not that aware right now.
Go journal.
That's what. No, and I'm going to do the experiment that I talked about at the top, where I'm going to start writing down everything I did. And you know what? Berating my best friend on air is not one of the things that makes me feel good.
Well, good that you know that now.
I guess I should
have the experience.
I don't want to do it.
All right. So my invitation to you guys to move away from obligation and toward desire is, if you're interested in those journal prompts, do them. But I'd like to invite everyone, including the two of us, to just take one step closer to your desires every day, and one step away from one should.
Yeah.
One obligation a week. Got it?
That.
One step closer a day, one no where you think you should a week.
And I guarantee everyone listening has like at least 10 shoulds for just this week that they're like, I would kill to drop that.
Pick one, find a way to not do it with integrity, and instead do the thing you desire. Deal?
Deal.
Great.
Great.
Well, my want is to now end this episode.
I think you should.
I love you. That was fun.
You.
I hope that was helpful to you guys. And if it was, share with someone, anyone that you think would enjoy this episode. It would mean the world to us. And we'll be back again next week with another episode of Signal. See you then. Bye.
Bye.
This has been another episode of Signal, the podcast that raises your frequency. This podcast is co-hosted and produced by myself, Maury Fontanez, and Melissa Bushka, and is edited by our sound editor, Josie Barak. Stay tuned next week for another episode.